Here we are in the heart of the European Parliament in Brussels again this week. And joining me are three MEPs, Deirdre Clune, Marcus Pritzel and Stephen Wolfe. Now, could Emmanuel Macron, the French president, be the new radical leader of Europe? This is after the German elections and Merkel's slightly disappointing election for her, and also the speech he gave this week in which he outlined his pro-integration, pro-serious reform agenda for Europe as a whole. Perhaps, Marcus, let's start with you. What do you say is Europe's reaction to that speech in general?
Well, it's obvious that he wants to be sort of what Angela Merkel was, but I think he's not capable of that. He's not capable of even leading his own country. That's obvious as well. The French public is very much against Macron now, and you can't be a strong leader for whole Europe if you're not a strong leader even in your own country. So I think this is not going to work for him.
When you say that, is that opinion polls you're talking about, or is that his agenda, particularly in terms of the economic and labour reforms he wants to put through? When you say he's not able to manage his own country?
No, the opinion polls in France show that, of course, because of his agenda, the people are not behind him anymore. I can't think of any kind of situation where he can be a strong leader of Europe, because everybody knows that he's a huge problem in his own country. You don't even know if he's going to be a president for 5 years.
And would you say that's Europe's view? They look at it as saying, well, yeah, it was an ambitious speech, but it's really fundamentally going nowhere when you actually implement the sort of realistic politics of the whole situation.
It is an ambitious speech, of course. It is very much, it is very dangerous for German politics. It's very much against our economic interest. It's very dangerous for the German position within the EU. In a way, it's also my hope that's not going to work.
Stephen, I mean, if we're to listen to Marcus there, why did Macron give this speech? If he knows he probably does know that he politically will not be able to, you know, be the spearhead achieving this kind of change. What was the reason for it, do you think?
Well, look, Macron the radical doesn't really work. Macron the minuscule is really what I'm really thinking he could be end up becoming. You look at the French elections, it was clear that a third of the population decided not to vote for any of the two people that were leading to become president. There was a great belief that Macron wasn't this radical, but was really someone that was being pushed by a political elite, not only in France, but also as the favourite of the European agenda from across Europe. And so the need now is to try and keep pushing that agenda forward in the minds of people. So in politics, sometimes when you set out a speech, it is not necessarily the view that you want to achieve all of that, but it's about getting the momentum going and the agenda continuing. So I suspect that his view is to say, we've lost a bit of strength in Merkel, but don't worry, we're still there with you, we're battling alongside you, and we're going to push this agenda, because remember, we heard that the week before in the State of the Union address here in the Strasbourg Parliament, from the president of the Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker. Mm.
And in terms of, I mean, if talk about the substance of what he said, we talked about building an economically sovereign powerhouse able to compete with particularly China and the US, but also a lot of the defence elements of it was wanting to compensate for what the perception is of the US becoming less powerful in Europe in terms of defence. Deirdre,
yeah.
I mean, do you see Macron as a sort of potential pan-European leader? Do you take the sort of...
No, I don't. I take the view similar to Marcus, really. I mean, when you look at him politically, though, he's standing at home in France. I mean, it doesn't stack up. He doesn't have the support. In fact, he didn't do very well in the Senate elections last week. Mm. And so I think that's opinion polls or no opinion polls, that's the real measure. So he didn't do well in the polls. And I think, you know, I can see... This has been knocking around for some time, the great Merkel-Macron leadership. People see what he's proposing. It's not really on the European agenda. And you know, there would be a lot of opposition, particularly if I come from Ireland, about a Eurozone finance minister and a separate parliament of Eurozone members. We have taxation, anyway, is a matter for member states, so really I think there'll be a lot of pushback from that point of view.
And that's the point I wanted to get on, particularly with you, because when we were in Strasbourg and we were responding to the State of the Union addressed by Jean-Claude Juncker, We had someone on from Ireland, a Sinn Féin member, who made it very clear that despite being very pro-European in outlook, he did not find the concept of a European finance minister acceptable and far more sort of assertive EU policies. So would you say that the whole idea put forward here, the concept, is fundamentally going to be going nowhere because it would be fought off by member states, particularly
taxation is it's a no-go area for a lot of member states. Now, I know he referred to corporation tax would be within a certain boundary or within a barrier below a minimum and a maximum. But I think there will be a lot of pushback from member states. And you know, we had this discussion in Ireland on a number of occasions because we've had a number of referenda, because our constitution requires us to do that on European issues, particularly on the Lisbon Treaty, Stability Treaty, and the issue of taxation. Taxation was clearly a matter for member states, and there's a unanimous that it can, it has to be unanimity, and even to change that requires unanimity again. So, you know, that's all the difficulties. You're not going to get there.
Marcus, I just wanted to pick up the point you made about it being dangerous to Germany. I mean, surely the idea of a reunified Franco-German alliance and strength from the centre of Europe being able to effectively dictate the direction of Europe, that surely is a good thing for Germany in terms of the future, being able to dictate the course of European politics and policy.
Well, first of all, I don't believe that dictating anything is a good type of doing politics.
I mean, do you see that as what it would be, a strong Franco-German partnership?
No. Well, it's not a Franco-German partnership. It may be a Macron-Merkel Europe, but this doesn't mean it's good for the French people. It doesn't mean it's good for the German people. It doesn't mean it's good for German economy, especially. And I think it is very dangerous. Since decades, we've seen a strong Franco-Allemand alliance in the EU. But if you look at the institutions in the European Union, the institutions are very much like the French institutions. They are not like the German institutions. It is the French who have always dictated the institutions. Yeah. And we've been part of it, but we've not defended our German national interests in it.
Surely Germany,
so
though,
it was dictation from
economically, Germany
France.
Is incredibly strong in terms of European policy.
Yes,
and the economy is obviously an essential part of European politics, and you know what basically happens in Europe.
Yeah, well, economically we are strong, but we're funding all the deficits in the southern European states. So earning money economically and spending it on financing southern European states may seem to be a strong position in the short run, but in the long run you're going to lose the money, all of it. And this is not going to work.
I mean, then we could go on and on about this discussion, but we're going to have to leave it there. So Deirdre, Marcus, Stephen, thank you very much for coming on.